a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Nice to have you waking up with us here on a Saturday morning. Full house today, but one missing. That would be Russell, who is actually shaking himself out of bed this morning to check in with us from, is it Panguitch? Is that where you're hanging out?
Quagga Russell.
That's where I'm at, and I've been out of bed for hours doing show prep.
I'll bet you have been out of bed for hours. You sound like you're calling the play-by-play on the 18th green of the golf. Are you trying not to wake up Mama, or what?
She's up and going, but it's all the neighbors I'm worried about.
Yeah, well, you should see me when I do a full show from a hotel room and people are knocking on the wall next door. So tell everybody what you're doing down there, first of all.
Well, I'm down here with the Patriot Guard Riders of Utah. This is when we have the one weekend of the year where we actually have fun instead of attending funerals and doing other things, although sometimes that's fun too. But we have our kind of a weekend retreat here in Panguitch and eat a lot of food, ride a lot of motorcycles, and just have a lot of fun.
So are you stealing somebody else's for the weekend, or what are you doing?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, are you stealing somebody else's motorcycle for the weekend, or what are you doing?
No, I just ride in the car and make motorcycle noise.
That's what I thought. tell me about this group you made contact with from Heber City, in case we hear from them this morning.
Wow, and, you know, you left one guy out, too, and that's Craig Ellers. He's going to be calling from Florida this morning.
Yeah, what part of Florida is he from? Do you remember?
I didn't have a chance to look him up. I'll let you know in a while.
Okay.
Now, just a point of information for you. I did send you via text the phone numbers for Anthony and his crew.
Yeah, I got them.
That are headed to Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, he's expecting you to call him.
Okay.
Morning, but you know, this was so random, and he called yesterday wanting a phone, but I'm in Panguitch. But I prepared for that situation, expecting it to happen while I was gone. And I had phones already set up, ready to go, so that our house sitter could just hand them off. And so his wife, Sarah, came down and picked up the phone last night, and we did this all via cell phone, getting them set up and educated on the phone and making a test call later on last night. And they are leaving about now. They've postponed their trip about a few hours to get some sleep, and also to dodge some other storms that are going on. As you can imagine, these guys are very keyed into the weather maps and their route and everything else, because they're driving straight through to Florida.
Yeah. And they're former military, all of them, or just a couple of them? What's the background here?
I'm not sure how many of them are former military. There's a couple of active firefighters in there, and I think these guys work a lot of construction, so they're very familiar with the trades and safety and procedures as far as rescue goes, and that's what they're going down there for. They don't, I don't think they have a big agenda on what they're going to be doing exactly, except they have this skill set where they're skilled at breaking into houses, I guess you could say, the hard way, and pulling people out and getting them to safety.
Wow. All right, we'll try and make contact with them over the next couple of hours. I don't want to shake them out of bed any earlier than they had planned. But
No, they're on the road by now.
Okay. All right, we'll look forward to making that connection. And then your son is down in, is it Beaumont, Texas today?
Beaumont, Texas. Yeah, I actually stayed in Lake Charles, Louisiana last night. And this morning, first thing, they're headed over to Beaumont to basically start doing the cleanup. There's a, you know, there's an endless amount of cleanup to be done in that whole area.
I kind of expected we'd hear from our usual first caller of the day, James from Texas, but we haven't even heard from him today, so I hope everything's all right where he hangs out, where he lives. I want to make a note here of an event that's coming up on the 23rd of the month, so you've got a little planning time here to sharpen your waterfowl hunting skills. The Division of Wildlife Resources is going to host a clinic from 8 in the morning till noon at the Desert Lake Waterfowl Management Area east of Elmo. The clinic is for both youth and adults and will occur 1 week before the youth waterfowl hunt, which we mentioned last week or the week before, I think, here on KSL with the help of the division. But they're holding the clinic on the 23rd, and it will allow young hunters to brush up on their skills they need before heading out into the field a week later. Just a great opportunity, and if you like want more information on it, you can get a hold of the division office in the Southeast region at 435-613-3707, or of course go to their website. The clinic will culminate with some duck calling contests. Some prizes are going to be awarded. Inexperienced duck callers will get a crash course and time to practice before the contest happens, of course, and a variety of shotguns are going to be available for both the adults and the youth to use there. So again, that's coming up on the 23rd of the month. If you want to find out more about it, get a hold of the Division of Wildlife Resources. I also forgot to mention that we're going to hear from my mind has gone blank this morning. Regularly checks in with us. He's going to kill me because I know he's out down there listening right now. Help me out, Russell.
Bob.
No.
Where are you talking? Down?
Bob Grove.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, Bob's calling in?
Bob's going to be checking in with us. He just returned from a road trip, so he's also going to be checking in with us after the bottom of the hour. So, Russell, what time do your activities down there get underway?
Well, they've kind of already started. We've got a early breakfast this morning here at the fairgrounds, and also there's a motorcycle ride scheduled for 9. So we start early.
Well, I appreciate you. What's that?
Well, we also have a big dinner tonight, and we've got all the local veterans coming, and we're going to take some time and honor them and just have a great time.
All right. It does sound like a good time. I want to make mention, too, because we don't usually do it this early in the morning, Navi, that your classes are coming up in 2 weeks, too, aren't they?
Right. A week and a half, something like that.
Is that also the week of the 23rd?
26 and 27 is our first nights.
And so you're looking for people that are interested in learning how to fly fish, obviously.
Right. You want to learn how to fly fish if you don't know.
Or even if you know.
Yeah.
And you want to learn some new skills.
Oh, I get so many people who've been fishing their whole life, and they're so glad they take. They tell me they absolutely are elated they took the class because they didn't know these things. So anyway, you could try to teach yourself to fly fish, and it'll take you 20 years, and you still not be very good. But take the class, and, you'll be skunk-proof, and you'll really like it. I mean, fly fishing is just so fulfilling. It looks beautiful when you see people doing it, but when you experience it yourself, you just love it.
Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights?
I have a Tuesday class and a Wednesday class. You can be in either one. I have room in both classes. Wildtrouts.com. Just go online and register, and I'll send you confirmation. We still have plenty of room in either class.
All right. And we'll it's wildtrouts.com. We'll mention it again before we sneak out of here at the 8 o'clock hour, so look forward to that. Need to break for news on the half hour. And then coming up on the other side, Bob Grove will check in with us. He just returned from a road trip to an area I'm fairly familiar with, down in South Dakota, the Black Hills. We'll talk about it coming up next here on KSL.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
right, we're back at it here, and phone lines are open, 575-8255, KSL Talk. And we'd love to hear what you've been up to in the outdoors lately. A lot of people barking at the door, like the lady in the old Mervyn's commercials, waiting, just open, 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 waiting for that snow to fall, and it's happening up there. So be careful if you're going to go to the high country today to sneak away. All right, let's take our first call of the day. Gentlemen, say good morning to James.
Oh, that was harsh. Good morning, guys. Anyhow, you can keep the cooler weather for a while. Thankfully, we're still in the 80s, so I'm not trying to rub it in, but I know we'll get soon enough. I just want to talk about our perennial topic, anyhow, of poaching and all that. And I really just had a comment and everything, not a question. I'm just so proud of the wildlife officials deploying the quasi-realistic robotic decoys to snag would-be poachers. What amuses me, as they said, it's not very sophisticated, but it's sure been catching a lot of people dumb enough to even walk up and shoot at the things.
You know, it takes one dummy to get another.
Yeah, all that. But anyhow, I was both amused but pleased, because poaching is a serious offense. So.
Well, these things, you know, if you get real close to them, they don't look very real. But from a bit of a distance and in the dusk or dark hours, you could fool just about anybody. They said they had it out for about 3 hours, and I don't know if this was this season or last season. It had to be last season, and they had three or four people take shots at it within 3 hours. So it's crazy the number of people that would actually think about doing that.
You know, when I was up in Alaska, I used to work the fishing game when I was in college.
Yeah, yeah. A fish counter.
Yeah, and we were driving up there, and we had to go get this guy because he shot a moose on the road, and it was laying there, and he was standing there. You know, I'm just a young kid. I don't know. They're putting him in handcuffs and stuff. And the guy goes, "Why'd you shoot it?" He goes, "Because it was right there." And he goes, "I know, but why did you shoot it?" He goes, "It was right there."
He still couldn't tell you.
Because it was right there.
Wouldn't you? I mean, it was right there.
I had a friend who did that with cars and bunny rabbits. So yeah. I guess it takes all sorts of people.
My comment yesterday was, you know, those things don't taste good either. I mean, you think jerky is tough. Imagine biting into one of those guys.
I just hope the cameras on are good quality, which apparently they are and all that. Where I don't wish anybody bad luck, but if they're going to be stupid enough to break the law, I do hope. I just wonder, do they get a warning since they're...
I doubt it. No, they wouldn't go through all the effort of doing that if it was just handing out warnings.
Yeah.
You know, James, you got to look at it this way. At least they're providing great entertainment on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, right, though?
Is that on YouTube?
Well, they end up on YouTube.
It better be.
Does the decoys actually move its head and everything?
Yeah. So does tail moves, too.
I think it's like those...
Disneyland.
Battery-operated owls that you put on your roof to try and keep the birds from sitting across the crown of your house. I have a neighbor that did that in the cul-de-sac behind me, and it was kind of fun to watch for a little while. The birds stayed away from the roof until they figured out that guy just sat there. And all he did was look north and south, north and south, north and south.
Kind of like that eagle in the west entrance
of
the park.
Pretty soon the birds that were supposed to be freaked out by it started showing up because he was a friendly little buddy, and it attracted other birds for some reason.
You know, Piper's got one of those yellow jacket, the wasp. Fake ones.
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, he says he got it like at Walmart or someplace. Oh. But he had a lot of, you know, wasps, a lot of yellow jackets, and he put a couple up by his swimming pool. He hasn't had one since.
Really?
Yeah, so they work. I guess the other wasps go, "Oh, there's already a, you know, a hive there."
Like an oversized one? Or
yeah, their hive's bigger than my hive. I think I'll move on.
Wow. So
that sounds cool, huh?
Now people want to put one of those around their neck when they're out walking.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we let you go, you have friends. You were nowhere close to the flooding or anything, right?
Well, we were just at the north edge. Like I said, we got we didn't get flooding, but we got heavy rain. Two different surges. As you know, Hurricane Harvey was weird. It was push north once.
And then came back around.
Go back in reverse toward Houston, where it dumped and dumped, and then on its second surge, it came back out a second time, and we were just kind of skirted by it to where we thank our lucky blessings. It was just heavy, heavy rain. It was bad enough.
Yeah.
But I do feel very sorry for all the victims of all the hurricanes.
Yeah.
All I have to say, all the hurricanes, because too many to name right now.
Yeah. Well, we checked in last week with Russ's son, who made the drive over with some of his fellow church members, and they were helping to haul stuff away and take out sheetrock and a lot of things down there. So
yeah, it was devastating and everything.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks. Navi, did you see the post I shared on your Facebook page? Have you been on Facebook at all?
Yeah. That's brilliant.
I saw the headline and I said, man, this has got to be for Navi. North Carolina mom invents a spray she says will attract any Bigfoot within a mile and a half. So I said, hey, Navi, here's a new aftershave for you.
Yeah.
A North Carolina wife brewed this spray, I guess, and she sold at $7 a bottle the, in air quotes here, environmentally friendly Bigfoot juice, as she likes to call it.
Yeah.
Also doubles as a bug spray. She created while sitting in her at her kitchen table. Let me see if it says much about what this stuff smells like, because I can only imagine. They said there is anecdotal proof her spray does, in fact, attract a Bigfoot. Really? Field tests have been done, and they include a recent outing by the research group Bigfoot 911, which you're probably familiar with, which a Bigfoot sighting was reported. It happened the first week of August in the woods of McDowell County. The report made national news. And here's a quote. I think that there's enough to say it can attract a Bigfoot, according to the folks from Bigfoot 911. Slightly different enough to make him curious and come to investigate. Let me see if it says anything about what this stuff smells like.
That's a genius idea. It's like the pet rock. You know?
Smells like Axe body spray in high school.
I don't know. I would think to attract a Bigfoot would be nasty.
Oh, come on.
Well, no, you think they like Chanel No. 5 or something?
They have high class tastes.
You know, actually, people who do bait them, guess what their favorite baits are? Donuts and Snickers.
Yep. Really?
Kind of like bear bait. You know, same stuff you put out for bears.
They're human beings,
not
okay?
Not that I bait bears, but donuts, yeah.
Yeah.
What animal doesn't like donuts?
Well, speaking from the voice of the people, I think. You resemble that remark.
Yeah.
Here we go. She says she gives these guys from Bigfoot 911 a lot of credit. He was using her home concocted bug spray during Bigfoot hunts and asked her to make something less feminine smelling. She started whipping things together and found a more musky outdoors smell. Next thing you know, the team spotted a Bigfoot. So there you go.
I think donuts with a little rotten egg mixed in with them. You know, something more, you know.
Mm.
You know, the thing is, hopefully this segment hits her, and we'd be welcome to endorse it if she would send us some.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get some trail cams and put it out there and let it roll. Put it in your backyard.
Maybe we reach out to her and see if she'll come on the show.
Well, that'd be fun.
Now, you know, if the guy was
a great idea.
We could hose you down, hang you from a tree, and just wait, like... chumming for Sasquatch.
The price is just enough that you want to buy it for your fellow Bigfoot person.
Yeah, why not?
You know, if we could get the guy that was molested by Bigfoot here.
No, he wants nothing to do with it, I'm sure.
And get that spray away from me.
He's not taking phone
calls. Maybe he was one of their testers. We don't know.
We have not been able. We've reached out to him, right?
Yeah. No response.
I can imagine.
Yeah. All right, we need to break the news on that half hour. So we'll do that.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on, more coming up in a minute.